Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And praise the Lord that she was able to get wind in somewhere to be able to sing that song tonight. And I think you're supposed to sing from your diaphragm, and there's no diaphragm there. It's just all, it's all twins, right? So praise the Lord for that special tonight, Allie. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 19. Luke in chapter 19. Sunday nights we've been going through and just teaching on little known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And we've been looking at the New Testament and then looking back at the Old Testament, kind of going back and forth to be able to look at some of these Bible characters that are written down and preserved in the Scriptures. You see, Bible characters are to be studied so that we can learn from them. And there's something to learn from every Bible character that we find preserved in the Bible. And so tonight here in Luke in chapter 9, it's 19 rather, it's one that you've heard, but he's only mentioned right here in these 10 verses. And that is the Bible character named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And every little child here has sung something about Zacchaeus at some point and looking, climbing up that little tree and looking for Christ coming. But there's a powerful message for us tonight in our Bible character Zacchaeus tonight. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading here Luke chapter 19, verse 1 down to verse 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you again tonight, thank you for what we've already experienced. Just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Blessing to sing congregational songs that have a message that encourage us. And then the specials that we've heard tonight, thank you for those that have practiced and those that have given time and sacrifice to be able to present the message and song to us tonight. Thank you for the choir. Now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I just pray that you'd open up each and every one of our hearts, our minds, our understanding to this passage, that we might be able to receive what you have for us through this tonight. Empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be saved. In Zacchaeus, we see how a person can change. What the Bible tells us about this man, Zacchaeus, before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what the Bible records about this man after he was influenced by Christ is a 180-degree turnaround. It was he was going one direction, and he turned and went a totally opposite direction. That's repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. And John the Baptist came preaching repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ, he came preaching repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so repentance is a part of what every one of us needs to experience in order to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We find to the man Zacchaeus that there was repentance. There was a change in his life. And then the Bible says, this is why Jesus came. And for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're lost, you're heading in a different direction than God wants you to be headed in. Amen. If you're lost, you have a different way of thinking than what God would have you to think. If you're lost, you have a different nature that you're yielding to, because you only have one nature, if you're lost, that you can yield to, and that's a sin nature. But when you get saved, then you have a new nature. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you. And you can, as you reveal, as you yield to that Holy Spirit, you can turn and live a totally different life than what you were living before you got saved. Yeah. What a great picture of that very thought, that a person can change. Zacchaeus, we look here, before he met Jesus Christ, the Bible says about Zacchaeus, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. I know in the Bible stories, and as they say, they focus more on his stature, amen, a little bitty man. But we find here that as we look at this man Zacchaeus, it was more about who he was, more about what was going on inside of him that God is revealing to us in Luke chapter 19. He was a publican. He was chief among the publicans. The publicans were tax collectors. The Roman government, Rome was in charge. Israel, the Jews were under Roman authority. And because of that, the Roman authority would choose those who would understand the Roman way of life, and they would convert them into being used by the Roman government to be able to go in to know what they needed to pay in taxes. And they would go because they had the understanding of the Jews, and they would be used by the Roman government to collect the monies, to collect the taxes, if you will. And so they are known as publicans, tax collector. They were known to be ungodly. They were known to be deceitful. They were known to be dishonest. And they were associated with sinners. Everybody knew, somewhat like politicians, you couldn't trust them. You couldn't trust them because they were just out for the money. They were out to be placed in a position of authority over the common people. And because they had given themselves to the Roman government, now they had the authority of the Roman government backing them. And they could call down the soldiers at any moment, at any time, to be able to enforce whatever they would conclude to be the law in paying the taxes. Verse 7, the Bible says, and when they saw it, all the people knew that he was a publican. The Bible says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. They didn't have to know him personally. They just had to know what he did. They had to understand the occupation that he had. He was a tax collector. He was a publican. And because of that, they associated them with sinners. John the Baptist addressed the publicans over in the book of Luke in verse chapter 3, if you will. Look back there with me. Luke chapter 3. As John came preaching repentance, and as they came, there were some publicans that would come to John's baptism. And John addressed them because he knew their heart. He knew if they were publicans, what they thought, what was going on inside of them. They were associated with sinners. They were associated with being ungodly. They were associated with being deceitful and dishonest. And so we find here, as they came to John's baptism, in Luke chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He didn't say, oh, you're a publican, you can't be saved. You're a publican, I don't want anything to do with you. I didn't come to save the publicans. I came to save the Jews. I came to save those that are righteous. I came to baptize those that love God. He didn't do that. Because he came as a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. What he came to do was to seek and to save that which was lost, the very same thing that Jesus Christ came to do, and that was to seek and to save all lost people, which is made up of the society of the world. Because outside of Jesus Christ, you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. No matter how righteous you might think that you are, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners, guilty of sin, and guilty to have to pay the debt of sin, which is eternal damnation. But Jesus came to pay that price that we all owe for our sins. He paid our price. Amen. He who knew no sin became sin for us, and he paid that price for sin on Calvary's cross with his own blood. Amen. So that he could offer reconciliation to God, so that he could offer forgiveness of sins. He could offer salvation. Praise the Lord for that. That's a gift of God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, understanding that, shall be saved. Amen. And so we find here that as the publicans came to John, John told them, he says, and he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. He knew what they were doing. He knew these tax collectors would be used by the Roman government, and that the Jews had no recourse. They were the ones that would stand between the Jews and the Roman government. And if they would come to you and these publicans would tell you, you owed this much, and if you refused that, they could call down the Roman soldiers to force you. And if you didn't have it, they would take whatever you have. They would take your children. They would take your house, whatever it would be to pay the taxes. And so they were known for that. They were known for being deceitful. They were known for being sinners. And John says, now what you need to do is just to be Christian publicans. Like being a Christian politician. Like being a Christian lawyer. Sorry, Brother Brian. And we need Christians in every area of society. We do. But we need people with character in those positions. We need people with integrity in those positions. And there's no better character than the character of Jesus Christ. And no matter what line of work that you go into, that is very important that you realize to do the job that needs to be done, I need to have the character of the most important person that ever walked on the face of the earth, and that is the person of Jesus Christ, because that was God who was manifested in the flesh to give an example of Christianity. We've had that for some 2,000 years now. It dates all the way back to Christ. So we find here that he told, John came and he said, you know, God loves you. He doesn't love your sin. He does not love the way that you have been conducting yourselves as these tax collectors and publicans. But if you want to know what you need to do, you just look to be honest. Look to have Christian character. Look to have integrity. Do a job that God would have you to do. Represent Christ in whatever area of employment that you're in. What a blessing. What a blessing that was. Jesus came and the very same thing. Zacchaeus was, if you go back there with Luke chapter 19 with me, Zacchaeus was chief. He was one that the other publicans looked to. He was the most deceitful. He was the most dishonest. Because with what he had done, he had become the most wealthiest publican of the day. And so he was chief, authority over the other publicans, one they all aspired to be like. Amen? That was him, chief among the publicans. The Bible also said, and reveals to us, that he was rich. So his mentality would have been, I might have been made fun of when I was little. I might have been thrown around because I couldn't protect myself. But now that I am an adult and I have learned this trade, I can have a position of authority. I always call it a short man syndrome. Amen? Because of that, they want to have a position of authority. He had this. He had worked hard enough. He had worked hard to become a chief publican. Who knows who he had to deceive and lie to and steal from to gain this title. So now we have two strikes against him. He is a definite sinner. I don't know that there would have been. He was chief. There wouldn't have been a more ungodly, a more dishonest, a more deceitful. And he was wealthy. He was very rich. Mark chapter 10. Look over there with me. Mark chapter 10. Because Jesus has something to say about those who trust in riches, who live for money, who live their life in this life for worldly wealth. That's what's on the forefront of your mind. It will affect how you live. It will affect your character. It will affect your integrity. Because all you're doing is looking around and seeing, where can I make money? Who can I get money from? How can I use this situation? How can I use that situation? Money signs here, money signs there. And Satan will destroy your life if you trust in riches. Mark chapter 10 and verse 23. Jesus looked around about and saith unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? How hardly? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I know that there's a lot of different people who want to interpret this as saying something different, and the eye would be known as a door that the camels had to duck under and go into it. But I believe it's exactly what he says, an eye of a needle. It doesn't matter, because it would be impossible. And what he's getting across is it would be physically impossible for a camel to go through such a small opening. That's what it's all about. It would be impossible. The Bible goes on to say, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Is there people that cannot be saved? Are there those that have got so involved in wealth of this world? Has there been so those that have got so involved in the sins of this world, whether it be a publican or whether it be a rich, someone who trusted in riches? Are there those that cannot be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, and saith, with men it is impossible. No matter how righteous you might think you are and how you live your life, you can't save yourself. With man, it is impossible for any man to be able to live a righteous enough life to be saved. It's impossible for you to know to give so much. If you were a giver of everything that you had and you were willing to give all your possessions, that would not be enough to gain you salvation. There's none righteous. No, not one. Nobody. And he said to them, with men is it impossible? It is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, no matter how rotten of a sinner you've been up to this point, no matter what your background, publican or not, no matter who you have deceived, how dishonest you have been, no matter what your past is, Jesus came to seek and to save you. Amen. That's right. That's what the Bible says. No matter what your past, if you would but look to Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as being the Savior of the world, acknowledge Him as being Lord, acknowledge Him to be the one who paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, and you look to Him and confess that you're a sinner and confess that you want Him to be your Savior, meaning, I don't want this sin anymore. I want the nature of Christ. I want Jesus as my Savior. I want Jesus as my Lord. And you confess and you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Well, look back with me at our text here. I love this because the Bible says, and Zacchaeus, no, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down for today. These next two words, I must. Because Zacchaeus, I'm going to use you as an example for all of humanity. I'm going to use you as an example to use against anyone that has ever sinned, anyone who has ever had the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, who has ever given to riches of this world, who has ever been a liar and a deceiver and a whore, whatever it might be. He says, I must, because I want this to go down in my word. I want you to be an example of, if you can change, anybody can change. I love it. Yeah. He turned from his sinful nature to look to the nature and the character of Christ. Can I tell you that character and integrity is not born into a child, but it's developed. Influences develop character. Influences, whatever you allow to influence you, will determine what choices you make in life. And the choices you make in life will develop who you are. If left to ourselves, the old nature will lead us to ungodliness and selfishness, because that's all that there is to draw from, is an old sinful nature. A sinful nature that, not by outside the grace of God, I could commit any sin that any other man could commit. And as a woman, you could commit any other sin that any other woman could commit. It's only by the grace of God that we have not. Because you have the same nature. We all have a sinful nature. We're born with it. Who knows what kind of negative influences Zacchaeus had in his life growing up? I can just imagine other boys being mean to him. I can imagine him being mistreated and abused just because he would have been the one that every other bully would have picked on because he was small in stature. Amen. And all his life he was being picked on, being bullied, probably didn't have the influence of a godly mother, a godly father. He just went by his own sinful nature, and he kept saying, one day I'm going to have a position that I'll get back. I'll get revenge. I'm going to have a position that even though I don't have the strength, I'll have the strength backing me. He had the backing of the Roman government. He could call in a legion of army soldiers at any point to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. He probably revisited some of those school kids. And he might have said, "Ha, you're going to pay now because you owe. You owe this much." Some of you tonight, you're thinking, I hope that little boy that I beat up on is not coming around with the Roman government today. So, yeah. That's Zacchaeus before he met Christ. Verses 3 and 4. The Bible says he sought to see Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that he was going to go to Zacchaeus' house. As we preach on this morning, I don't know what's going to go on tomorrow, but God does. Amen? We have what God has given to us about the future, and we know the future that the book of Revelations and Jesus talked about. But as far as a day-to-day, I don't know what a day may bring, but God is in control of tomorrow's. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus, he would be going to Zacchaeus' house when he went there. Zacchaeus did not know that. But somehow or other, Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. I don't know who it was It would have been another Christian, somebody that knew Jesus Christ, somehow talked to Zacchaeus and said, you know, this Jesus is going to come by this way, and they say that he's the Messiah. They say that he can forgive you of sins. They say that he can raise the dead. He can give sight to the blind. He can make the lame to walk again. Somehow, some way, somebody witnessed to this man, Zacchaeus. And when he heard that Jesus was coming by, Zacchaeus still had enough of a soft heart to let the conviction of the Holy Spirit penetrate his heart to say, I want to see him. You never know who God's been working on, how tender somebody's heart might be. Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, could not for the press because he was a little of stature. I love verse 4. Now this is what the children sing about. And this is important because there was still a soft spot left in Zacchaeus' heart, and he acted like a little child in climbing the tree to see Jesus. Amen. Now, I said, if you're going to receive Christ, you got to receive him as a little child. Childlike faith. Humbling of yourself. Acknowledging who he is. And he ran before. He knew he was coming this way. So he ran ahead and beat the crowd. And he knew that he would get crowded out again if he didn't do something. So he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. Amen. I love that. The Bible says he sought. In order to be saved, you have to seek the Lord. Now, somebody else might be introducing him to you. Somebody else might come to you that the Lord has sent and said, you know, do you understand that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world? Do you understand outside of Jesus Christ, all men are lost and on the way to a devil's hell? Do you understand that you need to seek after the Lord and you need to confess with your mouth, because no one can get saved for somebody else? No parent has ever been saved for their children. You have to raise them to have a desire to seek the Lord. Every parent's desire ought to be, as soon as my child comes to the age of accountability, that they will, of their own free will, seek the Lord as their personal Savior. For them to do that, you have to raise them that way. Yeah. So we find here, the most important thing to Zacchaeus was not what the people would think. He was a chief publican, and here he is running and climbing up into a tree to see Jesus coming by. He wasn't embarrassed. What was most important was what was going on inside of Zacchaeus' heart. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can sense the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Just like John taught, Jesus taught, you can't see the wind, but when you see the leaves blowing and the trees bending over, you see the grass, but you know that there's something there. You see the effects of it, but you don't actually see the wind. You might see the particles go, but you don't see the wind. But the wind is there. You don't see the Holy Spirit. It's a different dimension. You have to have spiritual eyes that God can give. But with the naked eye, you'll never see the Holy Spirit. But you can surely sense His presence. It's a Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, that bears witness with our spirit. It's a Holy Spirit that pricks our heart. When the Word of God is being preached and it affects something that's going on in your life, it's a Holy Spirit that takes that message and He says, this is for you. You need to understand that. You need to act upon this. And the Holy Spirit convicts a heart. You can't get saved outside of you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. No one gets saved. That's why every soul winner that I know of, before you ever go out soul winning, you say, God, use me. God, go before me, go with me, prepare the hearts of those that I'm going to talk to. And God, when I'm speaking to them, you do your part. Convict their heart. Prick their heart. Help them to understand what you would have them to do with the message that's being presented. That's why we pray every time we assemble ourselves together. God, I pray that you might empower the preaching of your word. You know what's going on in the lives of everyone that's here. Only you can make it applicable to their lives. But when the Holy Spirit wants to apply, when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, you have to open up your heart to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't block it out. Don't block it out. It's to help you. Amen. Why come to church if you're going to block it out? You come to church because there's a real God. You come to church because God empowers the preaching of His Word. You come to church because the Holy Spirit of God wants to work through the services, and He wants to prick your heart, and He wants to give you revelation from God that you might know what you need to do to have a close walk with Him. Nicodemus, what a great example. He didn't care what everybody else thought. He's just going to climb that tree because I have to see Jesus. I have to see this man who they claim to be the Messiah, the one that can forgive me of my sin, because I know I'm a sinner. No one would have had to tell Zacchaeus that he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. And he knew Jesus could forgive him of his sins. Yeah. Zacchaeus now meets Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. See, Zacchaeus looked up, looked down from the tree, and they made eye contact. There's something special about that. When you know that God is speaking to you, when you know that this is a spiritual moment that God has for me. Amen. And they made eye contact. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, because I'm going to come to your house today. I don't care what the Pharisees say. I don't care what the Sadducees say. I don't care. I'm going to come to a sinner's house because I'm coming to seek and to save sinners just like you. And I'll have it written down, preserved throughout this church age, that all people will be able to look to this passage and learn the lesson that I intend for them to learn from your life. That's what it is. When Zacchaeus came to his house, they received each other joyfully. You say, who was it? Made haste and came down and received him. Was it Zacchaeus receiving Jesus joyfully? Or was it Jesus receiving Zacchaeus joyfully? Listen to me. It was both. They were both joyful over what had taken place. They knew that this was something that God was doing in their lives. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus would be there. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he came to seek and to save him. And Zacchaeus knew that he was there. God placed him there to give him an opportunity to confess his sin and to receive Jesus as Savior. They both were rejoicing. And the Bible says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood after he was there with Jesus, after he had met him and was influenced by him. Jesus went to his house and talked with him. I guarantee you that Matthew was there as well. One of the apostles of Jesus, Matthew, you know what he was before he got saved? A publican. A tax collector. And Matthew was there saying, I was where you were, Zacchaeus. This is the Messiah. He changed my life. He can change your life. Amen. And in that house, the Bible doesn't record all that went on in the house, but I can just imagine that Matthew would have been there and Jesus would have been talking to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus would have received him as his Savior. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, now he's calling him Lord. That's how I know he got saved. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. I don't think Jesus even had to tell him to do that. he had a changed heart. Amen. He was a changed man. Instead of living for the riches of this world, he wanted to start being a giver, because he would understand it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. The half, that's not what he would have done before. Half of my, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. This is a changed man. Now he could be actually doing what John told the publicans to do. You don't necessarily have to change occupations. You just have to represent Christ in your occupation. Amen. Represent the character and the integrity that you have seen in the man, Christ Jesus, and go out and live like him. That's what Christianity is all about. His life changed. He would now yield to God's Holy Spirit. And in yielding to God's Holy Spirit, he would develop Christian character. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new. That's the evidence of salvation. Change of life. In closing, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 20 with me concerning this idea of character and integrity. Proverbs in chapter 20 and verse 7. Character and integrity go together. They define each other. And Proverbs in chapter 20 and verse 7 says this, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." As a parent, your child needs for you to live with integrity, because it will impact them more than what you could ever realize. They need to see Christian character. And that's why we're instructed to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Can I tell you, I do not believe that our society would be in the mess it is today if we would have godly homes, godly parents, having an example of Christ-likeness in raising their children. And the most important way that we can impact our society, it's really not who's going to be the next president of the United States. The greatest impact that we can have on our society is raising children with Christian in character and in the integrity of Christ. As born-again believers, if Zacchaeus could change, can I tell you, everyone in here, you could have integrity. And you could have Christian character. It begins with receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and then develop Christian character as you, on a daily basis, yield to the new nature that you have been given through Christ. Thank God for the powerful message that he's given to us from a little known Bible character named Zacchaeus. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. Jesus said, "I must come to your house because this is a story that I want to have preserved for all Christianity to read. To understand, no matter how sinful a life you've lived, you can change. And you can impact those that are looking to you as an example. Whether it be your children, your spouse, your co-workers, whoever it might be, you can impact others by living for Christ. Oh, how that we would determine to do just that. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for what we've received here this evening. Thank you, Father, for this Bible character, Zacchaeus, and for helping us to have an understanding of what you would have us to learn. And I pray right now, God, as you are pricking hearts all around this auditorium, because there's decisions that need to be made, I pray first of all for that one that's here that might be lost and on the way to a devil's hell, that they would receive you today, tonight, as their personal Savior. For that Christian that has turned a different direction, not living for you, God, that they would come back. They would want to establish a testimony that would be more Christ-like. Whatever the need, I pray, God, right now that you would speak and that there would be decisions made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.